Says to a patient, you have like 60 days, go home, take care of your affairs, etc. And a lot of people go home and do exactly that and die in 60 days, approximately. But some people say, okay, I've got 60 days left, and all of a sudden realize, well, if I only have so little time left, then I'm just going to go out and enjoy life. I'm going to let go of all those things that were bothering me, the job, the family stresses, the anxiety, whatever they are, and just say, if I only have this time left, I don't care. And they let go of these stresses and they go out and start to enjoy their lives. And as they're enjoying it, they start to realize at some point they've gone beyond the 60 days, they're still doing well, and in fact, their illness has gone away. So what's interesting about it is it says that as much as a human can be in a terminal situation, have a change of belief, and then have a spontaneous recovery, this applies to the planet because the planet is a living system. Gaia is not just a physical Earth, but it is all the biological entities involved, all entangled into one giant meshwork, conveniently called Gaia. And Gaia has been given a terminal illness diagnosis from science in regard to to life on the planet, and yet there's this opportunity for spontaneous remission. And that spontaneous remission is due to a large enough portion of the population realizing that given this terminal diagnosis, that we can change our lives, that we can take back our powers that we've lost, and in this process, not only do we become healthy, but the planet becomes healthy. So this is a biological reality. Now you might also say, well, what suggests that this might actually be occurring? Well, the wonderful thing is we can look at evolution, and we can look at it from the conventional point of view of a Darwinian world. And the characteristic of a Darwinian evolution is that it's the primary kickoff factors of evolution are called random mutations, random accidents of genetics. And so basically, if we then looked at evolution from a Darwinian perspective, you'd have to say, well, can you plan it? Can you say what's going to happen? And this is the problem with the Darwinian theory, is if all these mutations are by accident and they're random mutations, then by definition, you can't say what the future is because according to that plan, it will only come about through an accident or some unexpected event. And so our vision of a Darwinian world says we go into the future completely unknown. Well, I'm excited about the new science that said that this is totally incorrect. That we now recognize that evolution wasn't really based on accidents of mutations. Evolution is actually the result of organisms entangled with their environment, and in response to their environment, organisms can change their genetics. And so, rather than random mutations as the cause of evolution, we find that evolution is due to adaptive mutations, meaning that we didn't get here by accident. We got here as a result of continuously adapting to an ever-changing environment. So part one says, no chance on this one that there was a plan of evolution. And that when I say, well, what about the plan? Where are we going with it? And so I add one more factor to the fact that we didn't get here by accident. And that other factor is, we now know that the structure of nature is built on geometry, and the geometry is the mathematics of putting structure into space. So we use geometry, for example, to create architecture and design machines and buildings and things like that. So we put the structure and then design it to fit into the space. The geometry that we use, though, in human life is a geometry called Euclidean geometry. That was the one, remember, when you went back in school and we had the protractor and the compass and the graph paper, and we were able to put three-dimensional objects onto a piece of graph paper by plotting all the points. Well, that's interesting geometry, and that's the geometry of human life. That's the geometry we use to create human machines, human buildings, human structures. And that geometry, however, doesn't apply to nature. When we were 5 years old, we created what I would call a Euclidean nature. For example, remember that five-year-old picture you made where you were in kindergarten and you took a tree and you made a tree by using like a cylinder with a ball on the top. Well, very much Euclidean. It surely didn't match what nature is all about. We have since found, though, in the late 80s, that nature uses a different geometry.